I hope you're ready. It's that time. Climb aboard, all aboard, for the radio ride known as Sports Talk.
I got a bad feeling about this.
I can't take it anymore.
I am losing my mind.
Brought to you by Guarantee RV.
I know that, dude.
On Highway 99 in Junction City. Online at GuaranteeRV.com.
Alex is sitting there saying, what the heck are they talking about?
I would have Mariota out at 3 in the morning drunk, pawning his Heisman Trophy to get into an illegal poker house.
And now, a guy with lots of issues.
Yeah, I kind of do have issues.
No, I mean, like, lots of issues.
Shut up and get on with the program. Dude is a snot.
And broadcasting them, searching for answer.
Who is this?
It's Steve Tannen.
Have another donut, you fat pig.
Uh-oh, guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody?
Julie. Hey, guess what day it is?
Oh, come on, I know you can hear me. Mike. What day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Whoop, whoop!
Thanks for checking in. About to get into some more postseason baseball. Charlie Morton towing the slab for Tampa Bay, taking on Sean Manaea of the Oakland A's. We're down to, there's no way to call it, a final nine. I guess nine is a symmetric number in baseball. You know, nine players, nine innings. You got the whole nine yards. We know who the combatants will be in the National League after last night's scintillating comeback victory by the Washingtons. And they'll take on the Dodgers, who will start Walker Buehler in Game 1. And tonight's victor will head to Houston to take on Justin Verlander and the Strohs in Game 1 on Friday. They just posted an interesting statistic about tonight's starter for Tampa Bay, Charlie Morton, that his first 9 years in the league, I mean, this guy was like sub-500. He had a 4-and-change ERA. And now, the last 3 years, so he has 91 total wins. The last 3 years, he has 45. So his career started in 2008. He's now 35. So he's got the same amount of wins. And there were some injury issues, and he did play for the Pirates, which might sound a little mean. He always had a little bit of a control problem. He's always been up there in the HBP category, hit by pitch. But since he joined Houston in 2017, the year they won all the marbles, he went 14-7 with a 3.6 ERA, more than a K in inning. Last year, he led the major leagues in winning percentage, 15-3. 200 Ks in 167 innings. This year he went 16-6, the best ERA of his career at 3.05, and had 240 strikeouts. So, and you know, he left Houston for Tampa this year, and you know, at his age, it wasn't deemed a big splash signing. 2 years, $30 million. Yeah, you know the. The money's out of hand. Where it's like, yeah, that guy, it was kind of under the radar. He only got $15 million a year. It's like weebles wobble and don't fall down. So last night's game was awesome because it stunk for a while. It was boring. I really don't have an actual dog in the fight, though I was rooting for Washington. I just think they make for a better series than Milwaukee, especially without screaming and yelliching. You got that going for you, which is nice. The preseason women's basketball power rankings came out with Oregon at number one, four Pac-12 teams in there, including Stanford at three, and it's possible that Coach Tara Vanderveer becomes the all-time winningest coach in the history of the game, surpassing a legend in Pat Summitt. Oregon State six, and UCLA in at number 10. On the heels of Gavin Newsom, the governor of California, signing into law that Fair Pay for Play Act, there's been some serious reaction. Maryland and South Carolina and other states are proposing, I don't know if it's in the neighborhood legislation, I don't know if it's exact, I don't know what the logistics are, the specifics, but, you know, the ability of a scholarship athlete to make a couple bucks with their likeness or their image and not lose their scholarly. Well, now, Anthony Gonzalez, if I say that name to you as college football fans, does it ring a bell? It wasn't that long ago that, you know, I guess I should double check, because time has a way to kind of sneak up on you. And yeah, so I guess it was a little more than a decade ago. He was a wide receiver for Ohio State just after they won the national championship. And he was on the 2006 team, which lost to Florida for the national championship. I don't know much of... I know he got drafted into the NFL. I don't know that his career ever panned out much. Bringing his numbers up here. Yeah, he ended up with the Colts, and I think injuries were an issue because he had a season, obviously, playing with Peyton, where he had 57 catches, and then you know, he played a game, he played two games, he played eight games, and he was out of the league by 2011. But anyway, he is now a Republican congressman from the state of Ohio, and he is planning something a little different, a new national law to present student athletes with the opportunity to make endorsement money. And he thinks the feds need to act quickly to avoid potential problems. And he's going to wait his turn. And by that, I mean the athletic director at the school where he starred, Gene Smith of the Ohio State University, is the co-leader of a working group that's been put together by the NCAA, and they're going to try and concoct ways in which they could change its rules on name, image, and likeness rights. And this is moving at a pretty good clip, which is not the norm when it comes to the NCAA. I always joke they move at like a glacial pace, but they're going to present They're going to present a list of recommendations for the NCAA's Board of Governors meeting at the end of this month. So, interesting. There's also another Republican lawmaker, Mark Walker from District 6 in North Carolina. This is kind of interesting. He's proposing an alteration in the tax code, which would force the NCAA to allow players to make money from endorsements or risk losing their nonprofit tax exemption status. And I didn't realize how much this had progressed. That bill right now is before the House Ways and Means Committee, which I am not overly well schooled here. I could just pass along information that I'm reading. This is the early part, as the article by Dan Murphy says, of cutting its path through the lawmaking process. All right, this is going to, I think once we saw Gavin Newsom, the California governor, take that bill, which there were some lawmakers who abstained, nobody voted no. It's kind of interesting. I mean, it made it through the assembly, then the state legislature, and then he signed it into law, despite people like Gene Smith and Mark Emmert and some others, powers that be, saying, yeah, please don't do this, please don't do this, please don't. Oh, now maybe we don't have the control we once had. Is this a repeat of last night? Did the leadoff hitter from Tampa just take Manaea Yard? Wow. deja vu all over again. That's incredible. Scherzer gives up a bomb to Yasmani Grandal and Minaya. By the way, Oppo, he's a lefty, and Diaz takes him yard, and it's already 1-0. And right now, you can almost sense the camaraderie between Washington and Oakland fans. It's like, well, we're settled in, and we're losing?
This again? We're doing it again.
I am not in the mood. By the way, Manaya's delivery, I've thought that he's got a little bit of Zito in him. He's not overpowering, and obviously lefties have a little more of a unique delivery than a righty. And, you know, he's been injured most of the season. He's been back about 4 weeks. But, man, Diaz, who had 14 homers and 38 ribbies on the season, has Yandy Diaz. That's a young guy. First postseason at bat from Cuba. Gone. Bye. See you later. Touch them all, kid. So, an inauspicious start for the Oakland A's. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Never really fully delved into an entertaining Sunday in the National Football League. I was talking earlier in the week that it's been a few years since I woke up in a Sunday and I was like, all right, can't wait to watch my G-Men. Now I got my boy Danny Dimes out there, and what do you have against him? Let me guess, fantasy related.
No, it's not fantasy related. It's everybody spent the entire offseason saying how Daniel Jones was dumb and the Giants were dumb for taking him.
Yes.
And after two games against two horrible teams, and wow, he can move, he's not a statue, he's the best quarterback in New York Giants history.
Ever. And I'm throwing in Jets too, and Buffalo, because it's the state of New York. So, first of all, shoe on the other foot. If you had a team who just looked dead in the water and stagnant, and even though you thought the pick was bad, you got to be a little stoked of what you've seen the last couple weeks.
I don't think so.
Yes, you would.
He beat Tampa and Washington. They're horrible teams.
They're NFL
not good.
Teams. Nobody
They're not
cares.
Good NFL teams, though.
Tampa just beat the crap out of the Rams.
That's random and weird. That's also random.
So you don't change things around to fit your narrative at all. Nice try, man. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. If you want to jump on in, the Raiders got a win. Good
he
game.
He lost a Wake in college. Please, beat the Buccaneers. They're basically Wake anyways.
Yeah, I said it.
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are now the equivalent of Wake Forest.
Yeah.
Did they lose to Wake Forest? You've been following a lot of Duke basketball?
Football. No, it's the one thing that Lebatard Show keeps going back to constantly is that he got blown out by Wake Forest at home.
All right, trade him while he's got value. Yeah, I'm in. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Let's bring in Jersey Jack. Hey, Jack, what's up?
Hey, Steve. You know, it was my my impression that Tampa Bay beat the Rams last week. Geez, they must be a really bad team.
Yeah, I tried to explain.
Talking about the Rams.
Yeah, I just tried to explain that to Nick, but he's being dismissive.
Yes. And the fact is, everything you said is exactly right. He woke up a team that was in a slumber. And they're not as bad as everyone was saying they were. They're not going to go to the Super Bowl, but they're on a much better track.
Yeah,
than
well,
they were a year ago.
There's something to be hopeful for. I mean, he could have come in and been a disaster, and you're not going to sell him short. But you know what that franchise means to that city. I mean, he's lit a bit of a fire because obviously the Jets are a misery. The Giants look like they were going to be a misery. And so he's provided a little spark. I'm not proud. I hope I was wrong about them picking him.
Right. I agree. And of course, he's not Greg Minshew.
Well, nobody could have. Well, first of all, he doesn't even have a mustache. So.
That's true. I don't. Can he grow one?
He's too young. I don't know.
Yeah. Hey, listen, we got some hope, and look, you know, they'll probably go 8-8 if they're lucky. But at least that's better than 5-13 or whatever.
Yeah, I don't know when they get a more severe test. We'll be able to have a better gauge and maybe reset the optimism bar. But for now, like I said, I'm actually looking forward to watching them.
Yeah, they're getting Tate back this week. And Saquon was out there practicing today, and he looked healthy.
Really? I was not aware of that.
Oh, my God, you got to see the video. He looks like he was never hurt.
Well,
he's not going to play this week, but he's hoping to play against the Patriots.
Ah, all right. Good stuff. Thanks, Jack. All right, 284-8571. You got to love our sarcastic listeners. They just, somebody just texted me, Wake is 5-0. And to tell you the truth, I didn't know that.
I don't believe them. Also, how can Wake Forest be 5-0 in anything?
First of all, Wake Forest.
Are they playing Tiddlywinks? What?
Wake Forest in this century has been to an Orange Bowl as ACC champ. And in college basketball, let's not forget Tim Duncan, CP3. I mean, they're a really good basketball school. They beat Utah State, Rice, North Carolina, who almost beat Clemson, Elon, the Musk guy, and they won at BC.
See, they beat a nerd at football. That doesn't count. You can't just say that you beat Elon and you get to be ranked and you're undefeated and you're so happy. No, 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 no.
I'll tell you the truth. The fact that they're 5-0 and playing a major college and aren't ranked maybe speaks as much volumes as what most people think about the true caliber. Oh no, they're ranked number 22. I'm sorry, my bad. That is under the radar. I don't think I've given Wake Forest a second thought since this season started.
I would bet that they collapse and they don't even make a bowl game.
So you're saying they're losing out the last seven.
I have no faith in Wake Forest whatsoever.
All right, that you always make a note of my stuff. You absolutely need to make a note of that one. On October 2nd at 5:19, Nick called Wake Forest losing out the rest of their games. So it shall be written. So it shall be done. The Demon Deacons of Wake Forest. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. They're a basketball program. It's been a while. It's been since the Duncan era, I think, since they've won a second game in the tournament. They fall into the once proud. And by the way, their coach now is Danny Manning, and it's not working. It's just not working. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Let's bring in Mike. Mike, good afternoon. How's it going?
Hey, good afternoon, guys. Hey, I was calling to talk about something other than sports, but Wake Forest, bottom 10, they were Don't Wake Forest. and I do remember Wake Forest beat the Ducks. I think it was Bilotti's last year up in the Emerald Bowl up in Seattle or something like that.
Oh yeah, it wasn't Bilotti's last year. It was 2002.
It was ugly though. Whatever it was.
Yeah,
but
the Seattle Bowl.
I'm calling in today, Steve, and I always forget this when I call and talk to you. I wanted to tell you how much I appreciate you guys doing your project with Green Hill Humane Society.
Oh, thank you.
Like you, I've got three doggies of my own, and I heard. They were talking about how they also not only find homes for dogs, but they get lost back with their owners. And because last weekend I had a dog run right in front of me, and obviously jumped out of a car, or because it was right off of Mohawk and 14th, right off of the highway.
Right.
And that dog was scared deathless, and I spent about 15 minutes trying to get close to him, but he was just scared to death. And I don't know where he ran to or if he ever got picked up, but I just know if I lost one of my doggies, how heartbroken I would be. So I really appreciate all you guys do with Green Hill.
Oh, thank you. It's it's been a real joy to be a part of. Like you said, the work they do is just in this community is fantastic.
Yeah, and to anybody out there, if you don't got a doggy and you're lonely, man, I'll tell you what. There's days that my dogs just really pick me up.
So, good one.
Have a good one, guys.
Hey, thanks for the call, Mike. That means a lot. 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. And I just realized we haven't played our Green Hill segment from today. You know why? I think we got all caught up in trying to get Todd McKim on, who's probably going to join us tomorrow. So coming out of another break. But right now, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. How awesome was that? We were reminded of we're doing all this stuff, and then we almost blew them off.
It popped into my head. I was going to bring it up, but kind of off air, so people thought we had it planned or something.
Right. Now, when we make a mistake, feel free to call us on it. I'm always willing to admit, because when you have a lot of practice at making mistakes, you learn how to admit, move on, and then accept it. All right, to the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline we go. Let's bring in Mike. Mike, good afternoon. How's it going?
Good, Steve. Thanks for my call. I was the one who texted you about Wayne 5-0. The funny thing is, I'm Nick and joking about, but look at Wake Forest schedule. They're at home this week to Louisville. They get Florida State at home. They get Carolina State at home.
Sorry, Mike. You are like, what he's trying to say is they play Louisville, who's not very good, so they'll probably beat them. They have Florida State at home, then NC State, who's got some problems, and they go at Virginia Tech, who looks like this might be the worst Virginia Tech team we've seen in a long time. And then they play a game I don't think they're going to win in November at Clemson.
Loss.
And then they close with Duke and the Cuse.
Loss.
By the way, I've run into people who I now refer to as Henry, Karen, Bunker. I call them hills because they'll just die on any hill at any time for no apparent reason. So I'm going to absolutely include you in that group. And by the way, it's great when a lot of people are pointing out that they don't really like Wake Forest. They just want to prove you wrong. That's a couple of our texters right now. You got to admire them for
that. I mean, yeah, sure enough. Like, if I'm taking a very strong anti-Wake Forest take, I should really expect people to also take, like, really strong pro-Wake Forest takes. But my goodness, people, where were all of these Demon Deacon fans? Everybody's just coming out of the woodworks now, looking up schedules, giving me information, telling me I'm an idiot. Come on, people.
Well,
where's this excitement and enthusiasm for literally anything else of all of the dumb things I've said?
First of all, I will explain this to you. They're 5-0, and without any, you had no idea who's on their team, who they're playing. It's just like, they're terrible, they're going to lose out. You begged for people to challenge.
I know that they're the Demon Deacons, and that it's Wake Forest, and that's about it.
All right. So, again,
and I know they're not making a bowl.
You went
too.
Henry, you went Bunker, you picked a hill to die on for absolutely no reason. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Let's bring in Sam. Sam, how's it going?
Good. How are you?
All right, what's up?
So, that was amazing that Mike called and was giving you props about Green Hill, because I was just getting ready to call and ask you about something. I was listening to Dan Patrick this morning, and he had a guest on. I didn't know who it was, and he was all building him up and everything, and it turns out it was Mike Vick. I had a little blood pressure issue there for a minute, and I was just wondering, what do you think? I mean, has that guy rehabilitated himself, and he's all good to go, or
in the eyes of some, he has. And Dan Patrick was one of the first guys to interview him after he got out of the slammer. And I'm like, You know what? What he did, because too many people don't know the story. And they're like, right. Oh, you know, he ran a dogfighting ring and a couple. It's like, yeah, unless you understand the magnitude of the pure evil he was involved with and hands on about personally shooting dogs, drowning, electrocuting, and on and on. And to me, also, what doesn't get enough coverage about the pure vile scumbag that he and his people were, I mean, they would steal family pets from backyards to use as bait and practice for the fighting dogs. So as far as I'm concerned, Michael Vick can kiss my ass and go to hell forever.
Well, thank you. I'm not sure that that did any good for my blood pressure, but I do feel better.
All right. Thanks, Sam. Take it easy. But what about the good he did? I'll tell you what. Let's go find all the little kids whose dogs were stolen from their backyard and had to have their... And if they let Michael Vick off the hook, I will. All right? Deal? Done. 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Let's bring in Joe. Joe, good afternoon. How's it going?
Quite well. How about yourself, Steve?
All right. What's up?
So I was... By the way, I agree with you about Mr. Vick. I don't watch Fox's pregame show anymore because he's on there. But what I want to talk to you about was I was listening to you talk about the NCAA moving faster than usual.
Right.
What do you think the odds are that they're trying to figure out how to make the athletes use them as their representatives so they at least get a piece of the pie?
What's above 99%? Yeah, well, we were talking with one of the writers earlier and mentioned that, you know, before they completely cave in and allow this to happen and, like you said, not get their cut, first, you know, the lawyers will get involved and, you know, attack the California law. We know one thing that's been proven. If there's a slice of the pie, the NCAA wants in.
Right. All right. Thanks, Ben.
Have a good one. All right, so do we want to do Green Hill now, or do we want to wait? So how about we take a break now, come back, we'll have our update, and then we'll have our conversation with Megan from Green Hill, who had a really special guest in our studio today. Back with more Sports Talk, 95.3 The Score.
We're riding the waves of technology just for you. You can call the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline at 284-8571. Text 321-0824. Tweet Steve at SportsTalk953.
The hard thing for me to understand is we say we're all about people, but sometimes we don't get to know people, right? I think he's one of the most misunderstood people in the NFL. I didn't know anything about him except what some friends that were, you know, from LA, played high school football with him, told me. You know, when he showed up, he quickly turned into one of my favorite teammates I've ever had. He's one of the most genuine, awesome people I've ever been around. He's a great teammate, and he's a great guy.
No. That's Derek Carr of the Oakland Raiders defending Vontaze Burfict.
Cut the crap!
Talk is cheap, dude. You really need to evaluate a person on their deeds, not who they say they are or what they believe or what Al tells you, who knew him 17 years ago. When the deeds are misdeeds again and again and again and again and again, he's not a great guy and he's not a great teammate. Early homer, leadoff homer, given up by the Oakland A's against Tampa tonight. Sean Manaea. Oakland now in the home half of the first have loaded the bases with two outs for the dude from Curacao, Jerickson Profar. So a big early moment here in the American League wild card game as the A's trying to crank up the heat a little bit on Tampa Bay starter Charlie Morton. He's Charlie Morton. He's Charlie Morton. Tomorrow, man, a lot of action. Not only will the National League playoffs start with a couple of games starting at 2 o'clock and rolling into our evening, but we've got college foosball, Temple, East Carolina, a little American Athletic Conference action, and on ESPNU, Georgia Southern and South Alabama as Profar flies out. There it goes. We're one complete. Tampa Bay, 1. Oakland, nothing. 0. Nada. Yaboik. As far as the National Football League, tomorrow night, Rams and Seahawks. So we're going to be off a little bit early tomorrow, as the Rams just looking to bounce back defensively from their horror show. And Seattle, after that rough home loss, now 3-1. I mean, you know, this is one of those games because you really don't know how an NFL season is going to progress. So, you know, when you think of the tiebreakers, suddenly you get a, you know, first week in October. What's this gonna look like? Yeah, a couple of you have asked me about if I saw the performance of Mariota against the Titans. And, yeah, it was a great first half. You know, he hit Corey Davis, who they need to really have emerge as a legit deep threat. 23-yarder, it's 24-7. He'd already connected twice with their second rounder from this year, dude from Ole Miss, A.J. Brown. I mean, at that point, his numbers were 14 of 19 for 189 and three touchdowns. And I was, because the game wasn't really close, I wasn't checking in on it all that much, but apparently they went really close to the vest, like in a maniacal fashion. And, no, I guess if you were using a basketball term, kind of took the air out of the balls. But that South is crazy. Everybody's 2-2. What the hell year was it when it was still the Norris, when the Lions, Packers, Vikings, and Bears were all like 9-7. I think Tampa may have stunk, but they ended up not scoring at all in the second half. There was only an Atlanta field goal in the second half, and Marcus's numbers, like I said, from 14 of 19 for 189 and 3, they ended up, so in the second half, he went 4 of 8 for a total of 27 and 38 yards. But, you know, didn't turn it over. They could have an okay running game with Derrick Henry. He had 1,600 yards. That's a lot for a game. He had a 100-yard game. And, you know, with A.J. Brown, Corey Davis, and Delanie Walker, you know, some of the guys like Jonnu Smith, is Darius Jennings going to emerge? But, you know, a win is a win is a win. You don't poo-poo or turn your nose up at that for sure. 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. I would say the most frustrating game of the week from a neutral perspective was Buffalo really had a chance to beat New England. I mean, it was 13-0. And then Brady, by the way, threw his first pick of the season.
The worst interception I've ever seen Tom Brady throw. It looked like he had never read a defense in the red zone before. That was horrible.
Yeah, that was the thing. Not only was it a pick, but, you know, it really could have, in essence, when you think about the way they're playing defense, could have put the game on ice. Then Josh Allen took a bad sack. I mean, you know, you looked at it, and there was one instance in the game where they were in field goal range. It was going to be a 44-yarder. Allen took a bad sack, like a rookie move, cost them 5 yards. And Hauschka, their kicker, just hooked it at the end. And the announcers were like, man, that 5 yards actually made a difference on that field goal. Then he threw one up for grabs, and it was 13-10. Buffalo was on the move. And there was just one of their DBs made an incredible athletic play, but it was ruled out of bounds. And then Josh Gordon looked like he had scored a touchdown to put the game away, but they called a pick, and They ended up forcing Gostkowski to kick a 23-yarder, kind of ironic now. It was more of an exaggerated extra point. You know, to their credit, the Buffalo Bill defense played their guts out. Then on a Josh Allen scramble, you know, the DB, Jonathan Jones, hit him helmet to helmet. It looked like intent and everything. I didn't read if he ended up getting suspended or anything like that. It wasn't, you know, he goes to the concussion tent, Matt Barkley comes in, and then he throws a bomb on his first play, a deep sideline route, connects with John Brown, but they get to the red zone, they can't punch it in, the defense holds, and that was the ball game. And God, these people. What else? Yeah, I tell you what, I gave up on the Ram game. It ended up, Winston was having a really good game, and then he makes a cement head play at 45-34. It's a pick six. They go for two and convert. Miss. So it's a five-point game. Then I'll tell you what. On the next sequence, Winston, to his credit, faced a third and six. It looked like momentum had swung to the Rams. He hung in, delivered a perfect pitch to Mike Evans, sustained the drive. Then he hit Chris Godwin, who had a ridiculous game. He had 12 catches. And then there was a big run by Ronald Jones, the former USC Trojan, who had a total of 23 carries all last year. And then, you know, it was just such a weird game because they settled for the field goal, which was big. And Matt Gay, who the week before blew that kick that could have beat the Giants, he ends up making a 58-yard kick. Goff had just silly numbers. I forgot what the final was. I mean, he had like 465 yards at one point in the game, and I was looking up like, so what's the Ram record for passing yards in a game? And it turns out that he came up a little bit short. He ended up throwing for 517. And let me tell you something. You look, that's just the 23rd 500-yard passing game ever. And if you think about, Breeze did it twice, Brady twice, Roethlisberger three times. So he's only the 19th quarterback to throw for 500 yards in an NFL game. That's like as rare as a perfect game in baseball. And they lost. Dude puts up all those points with that defense. I think that's the weirdest part about it. Sure, you could lose, but you're supposed to have the vaunted defense with Aaron Donald. I just combined two guys. Anyway, that's the way that cookie crumbled. All right, did somebody in Tampa just hit a two-run jack?
Yeah.
Wow, that sounds familiar, doesn't it? It's exactly at this point for the home team yesterday, trailing 3-0, heading into the early innings. And, oh, man, Manaea just put one over the fat part of the plate. And that thing was tanked to dead center field. Bye-bye, Garcia doing yard work. All right, that brings us to break time. And like we said earlier today, we had an opportunity because Wednesday is Yay Day. Our friends from Green Hill are here, so check it out, 95.3 The Score. Folks, it's Wednesday, which of course in our studio means it's a Yay Day. Megan from Green Hill has made a return. Always a pleasure to see you. How are things?
Things are great. Thank you so much for having us.
We have, normally I kind of try and mix it up and talk about what people need to know, but we've got a really special visitor this week, and it strikes home because we've got an older doggy, and they get you like few others.
Oh, it's so true. We have a 16-year-old boy named Rumi. He's like a terrier border collie mix. He was a stray, which is hard to believe.
Wow.
He has so much spunk in him for 16, wiggling his tail, kisses. He hops when he sees people he wants to greet. He hopped at lots of people as we walked in. And just a good boy that wants to snuggle. So if you're looking for an animal to give a couple more years of just awesome, high quality love and life, he is your perfect fit. He'd be a great couch buddy, short walks around the block, and otherwise I think he'd be good with mellow cats, probably another mellow dog. I mean, he's just an easygoing kind of dude, and he looks right in your soul when he looks at you.
He does, and normally with dogs that age, I mean, you would look for a little limp, a little hip, a little joint problem. If I didn't, it's a classic case of, if you didn't tell me, I wouldn't have known.
Exactly, which I love, yeah. I mean, he's got a really happy, active tail, which shows us what a happy boy he is, and who knows what his life... It looks like he was definitely loved because he loves back really hard. And he jumped in my car. I tried to help him, and he wouldn't take help. He jumped right in and got in the seat and sat like a great boy, and he's just... He's good to go and ready to find his home.
Yeah, you nailed it. When you look into those eyes, it's like, yeah, you had me at hello.
Exactly. And, you know, there are so many wonderful humans out there that do come in saying, give us your older dog. Let's give them the best end of their life. I mean, mind you, I think he still has a lot of life in him.
Right, right, right.
But he's just here smiling and wiggling and getting pets as we speak right now. So Rumi is going to make someone very happy.
No, he's what we would call a delight.
Yes.
And as always, for folks who are hearing this, might be a regular listener, maybe new and contemplating, do we give the doggy their forever home? What do they need to know on your end?
Yeah, so all of our animals that are up and available up for adoption are posted on our website. That's updated in real time. So you check it out. Check out all the animals available. If you have another dog and you're looking at a dog, we do suggest you bring your dog in for a meet and greet with our professional kennel staff. They can do an assessment with you. And otherwise, you fill out an application and you go through a counseling service just so everyone knows that it's a good fit. And if it's a great fit, then we will you pay an adoption fee and send you on your way. And that adoption fee not only covers that animal's care, medical care, but whatever's left over goes to all the other animals. So those fees just keep going right back into caring for more animals.
All right. Well, we've got a sweetie for you, and it would enhance your life as always. Megan, always great having you.
Always a pleasure. Thank you for having us.
Every Wednesday is Yay Day. That's Megan from Green Hill online, green-hill.org. Adopt, give a pet. It's everyday home, or more importantly, it's forever home. We'll be back with more Sports Talk 95.3 The Score.
And now, it's the Coors Light refreshing tweet of the day.
They are trending, twittering, tweeting, you name it.
On Sports Talk with Steve Tannen.
LOL, laugh out loud, OMG, oh my God, WTF, why the face?
Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer.
Hi, everybody.
Yo, Dr. Nick, how you doing?
Hi, host Steve. Nick Rogers here for the Coors Light at the Coors Light Frost Brewed Sports Desk for the Coors Light Refreshing Tweet of the Day. Coors Light, mountain cold refreshment made to chill. We're watching the AL wildcard game here. At Spotrack tells us there are two players in the Coliseum tonight who have earned more than $9 million in 2019. That's of the people playing. And Marlins man is there, so I think he's maybe pushing that. I don't know. Chris Davis, 16.5, and Charlie Morton, 15 million. The only guys making double digits.
Amazing.
Tonight in this game. Moneyball is really, really certainly a thing. At Baseball Brit, he's the guy who toured around America, tried to go to all 30 ballparks in the league, tried to go to all of them. He says his reasons to root for the A's tonight. One, their hashtag is hashtag Bashletics. Very good. The Coliseum is rocking. Very good. Elephants are cool. Yeah, they're not cool. Mustache supporting franchise. Raleigh Fingers, that's very true. Brad Pitt was their GM technically for a little bit. Can't say he wasn't. Some great fans in Major League Baseball, it's true. Oakland, very strong. And the absolute gorgeousness that is this Kelly Green jersey that they're wearing tonight. It's like, if there's one thing that people are going to come away with, if the A's lose tonight, the only positive people are going to come away with is that, well, you looked a lot better than the Rays. It's very true. It's a very pretty jersey. We have from Freezing Cold Takes, they found a tweet from KDKA, a CBS affiliate in Pittsburgh, who tweeted, violent collision. Astronomers predict that in about 4 billion years, the Andromeda Galaxy will collide with our own, the Milky Way. And Freezing Cold Takes, doing what they do when people put some big takes or guarantees out there, just the hand with a pen emoji, which marking something down for it to happen 4 billion years from now is hilarious. But our tweet of the day comes from Lindsay Jones at by Lindsay H. Jones, who found Nora Princiotti, Princiotti on Twitter, who is covering both the Washington franchise and the Patriots, finding some quotes on some various teams. She tweeted out earlier today in just two perfect tweets. One of them, Belichick, says, quote, Washington, a well-coached team that knows what it's doing. 10 minutes later, 10 minutes later, quote from Jay Gruden on their quarterback plan for Sunday, we don't have one right now.
So they know what they're doing. They got it together. Oh, man.
Patriots by a billion on Sunday. So thanks to Nora Princiotti for the refreshing tweets of the day, and for at by Lindsay H. Jones for bringing our attention to those two tweets as well, because they were perfect. Follow Station's handle on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. You'll be able to see our Pet of the Week. Rumi is on there, and you can hear about him. And Steve is on Twitter at SportsTalk953. I am on Twitter at 953thescore. Don't be a jerk. Or no, I'm on Twitter at Rick Nodgers. That's a dollar.
Yeah, Tabor, $1.
Oh, goodness. Don't be a jerk. Just do it.
And tomorrow's going to be an abbreviated show. Well, we'll hit the 5 o'clock hour, and then we'll be off in 15 minutes because we got Rams Seahawks coming here on 95.3 The Score. A's went very quietly. They got a knock, but a double play erased that. So they're down 3-0 heading to the top of the fourth. What could I say? Back at it. Look forward to joining you tomorrow. Hopefully, we'll re-rally Todd McKim to talk some Cal. We'll have Aaron Fentress of The Athletic and a lightning round. Enjoy your Wednesday. Catch up with you on tomorrow for Crunch Time and Sports Talk on 95.3 The Score.